when I came home that night and I laid on my bed, I felt that my body was not touching the bed. The spirit has been so strong that I felt like I was not on earth anymore for a while.
In 1962, Delia Rochon hadn't been a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for long when her branch president extended a calling to her. The primary president and sole primary teacher for their small branch in Colonia Suiza, Uruguay, had moved away and the children in the primary needed a new leader.
I remember one Sunday, President Solari called me to his office. His office was very simple. It was a desk and probably bookshelves or something. And he asked me to be seated across of him. And I remember that either the chair was high or I was short. My feet didn't touch the floor during the interview. I remember that exactly, the feeling that I have. And so she was just very direct in the way he approached. And he said they needed a primary president. He had prayed and thought that I will be the person to fulfill that calling. He just didn't give me much instructions of what that entailed. And I have no idea what the primary organization was all about, less what a president role would be. But I said, yes, I mean, I just accepted the calling. And I remember he gave me a manual. And in those days, the manuals gave every instruction how to open a meeting, when to have the music, when to call for a prayer, and then how to start the lesson, what activities should go, what songs to sing. So he gave me that, and he said, this is all that you need. And I remember, because it was perhaps the best counsel that I ever received for a calling. He said, if you have questions, pray.
Being called as a primary leader is a daunting job for anyone to take under any circumstances. But this was Delia's first calling ever. And when Delia had joined the church earlier in the 1960s, she was 12 years old, so she had never attended primary. In fact, at the time she was called to be primary president, she had only recently turned 13. But her faith in her branch president's directive to pray became her guiding light as she navigated unfamiliar and challenging territory and helped to build the testimonies of the children she guided and taught.
This is Saints Volume 4, the podcast. I'm James Perry.
And I'm Lisa Christensen. Today, we'll learn more about Delia's experience as a teenage primary president and how her faith has led her and guided her in the decades since.
Uruguay, a vital step, a teenage primary president's journey of faith. Colonia Suiza is a sun-starched city in southern Uruguay, known today as Nueva Helvecia, and sits just 10 miles from the Atlantic Ocean coastline. Green, leafy trees line the streets of this rustic city, which in 1963 was home to 8,000 people.
It was a colony that was settled by immigrants from Switzerland, Germany, France, and Italy, and perhaps was 1860s when they came. So in 1960s, when I was talking about, there was still a strong tie to those countries and the community. So I would say that our music in the colony, the food, the traditions, were a reflection of very diverse culture. I really remember being exposed to different languages at my young age because of different immigrant groups. But I think being part of that so diverse community, it gave me a good foundation to face different situations in my life. Different languages, different people, different backgrounds. That was great.
The area was also very religious and had many diverse faiths. Delia's mother was Catholic, while her father was a Waldensian, a small Protestant sect founded during the Middle Ages. Missionaries from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had first come to Uruguay in 1947 and had found slow but steady progress in teaching the gospel since. The church first reached Colonia Suiza in 1959, with missionaries presiding over the first meeting of seven investigators, six women and one man, of whom 6 were eventually baptized. One, the man, would become Delia's branch president, Victor Solari, and extend the calling of primary president to her just 3 years later.
Delia was the only member of her family who joined the church, but her mother permitted her going and serving as long as she maintained good grades in school and kept up on her household chores. At the time Delia accepted the calling of primary president, the branch had about 30 adults, as well as the 9 children Delia would be teaching. In Colonia Suiza, primary was held on Saturdays, so she had almost a week to prepare for her first lesson.
I remember going home the following day, opening the manual and reading all that I was there. And I had such a short, simple prayer, and it was something with these words like, Heavenly Father, I need to teach this to the children. Please help me. And then I think I follow exactly the instructions.
Each Saturday, Delia would walk to all the children's houses, and they'd all walk together to the church meeting house. The church house had an old harmonium, a type of pump organ, but Delia didn't know how to play it, so she and the children learned and sang songs a cappella. The manual helped Delia find different ways of teaching the children. Sometimes they would make paper hats and play Follow the Leader as they learned about Captain Moroni and obedience. Sometimes she would open a window and relate the breeze that came into the room with the gentle prompting of the Holy Ghost.
We did everything without any constraint or time or authority or anything. We just learned the gospel together. Remember that I was just a member just 3 months. So when I was teaching them, I was teaching what the Holy Ghost was teaching me. So we learned the gospel together.
After 4 years as primary president of her branch, Delia was called as district primary president. She was still a teenager and had no transportation of her own beyond her bike, so she had to rely on other leaders to take her around to other branches within the district. Going to conferences meant traveling hours by bus, and the whole journey would take an entire weekend. Delia also had school on Saturdays, and she often had a lot of homework to make up for by missing classes on those days. She also had to pay her own share of the cost of the bus for the trip. But for her, the experience of being with so many other members of the church was well worth that sacrifice.
I think what I remember most and very influential was the sunrise testimony services that we have Sunday morning before we left. It was very beautiful. I remember us. Perhaps the time where I felt that we were not alone, that we really belonged to a large group, that there were other younger people that were with the same values and doing the same things that I was doing. So I just loved those conferences.
As Delia's faith and activity in the church was growing, so too was unrest throughout the country. In many South American countries at the time, including Uruguay, political and economic issues led to a series of protests and rebellions against the government. These clashes could and sometimes did end in violence. That was a difficult time for residents, and especially those who were members of the church, which was seen as an organization with strong ties to the United States.
There were years that were very difficult because there was some violence in the street. I never got involved in any political movement of any kind. I was very much involved in church activities, and that was enough for me. But I remember one day I was caught between a student manifestation and the military that were coming to fight. And the students will use the Molotov bombs that they will throw to the military. And it was a moment that I didn't know where to run, toward the students or toward the military. So I was in that position, and at a moment that I was trying to decide where to run and praying for protection, a bomb just exploded next to my feet. And in front of me was a military man with a stick ready to hit. And I don't know what he saw in my eyes till today, that he lifted the arm and told me, run. And I ran till I get home. It was difficult for the missionaries. It was difficult for us.
The tension in the cities and against members of the church brought Delia to an inflection point. One day, she was preparing to go to a youth activity which was near her home. The missionaries stopped by and said they were going to the same activity. They asked if she would like to walk with them. It was a friendly offer, but to Delia, the stakes were high.
This social and political transformation started right in my teen years. And that is a time where you really want to belong. You want to be part of a group. It was difficult because our allegiance to the church, I didn't participate in activities on Sundays and everything. So I was trying to be close as much as possible to my classmates. But one day I was getting ready to go to a mutual meeting, and the missionaries stopped by at my home. They were just stopping to say hello, and they were also going on their way to the branch. And to my surprise, they said, let's go together. And the distance between my home and the branch was not that far, but it required that we go across the square. Now, the town square was the place to be. That in the evening, people in general will go and sit there. And I knew my classmates will be there. So when the missionaries asked me to go with them, I knew that I would have to cross the square with them in front of everyone. And I knew that that will bring hard consequences. So I look at them for a moment before I answer. And the question that I had was, I know I am a Mormon, but how much of a Mormon I am? And that was a moment that defined, in many ways, my life, because I decided to give priority to go with the missionaries and to give my allegiance to the Lord rather to what others may say. And I remember it was from my home to the square was about a block and a half. And exactly I was expecting when we faced the square, all the youth were there, and I was walking with the American missionaries. And I could feel the look. And I knew, and I have described it before, I was just committing social suicide. After that day, there were friends that didn't speak with me anymore. Remember, this was a time that political influence was very, very strong. And it was very popular to be political. And religion was considered, as well has been said, the opiate for the people, was considered for the wicked. So I really didn't get good marks with the society, but I'm very happy I walked that day with the missionaries.
Although the social pressure could make life difficult for Delia as a member of the church, her testimony and the support of her fellow saints helped her still thrive as she went through school. When she was 17, Delia got another guiding star in the form of her patriarchal blessing.
Although the church was growing quickly in South America, many areas still did not have easy access to a patriarch. Eduardo Balderas, a Mexican Latter-day Saint involved in the Spanish translation of church materials, was assigned to tour around South American countries giving blessings to as many worthy members as possible, including to Delia.
My first reaction when I saw him, I just started crying. I think it was such a spiritual power, such a spiritual influence, that I couldn't explain or manage in any other way but crying. And so Brother Balderas came, got a white handkerchief from his pocket and wiped my tears and sort of calmed and told me that everything will be okay, that I will be receiving a blessing. And so he gave me the blessing. My recollection also that when I came home that night and I laid on my bed, I felt that my body was not touching the bed. The spirit has been so strong that I felt like I was not on earth anymore for a while. And the patriarchal blessing became a personal revelation to me because my personal family situation and financial situation, I was not thinking on going on a mission. And young women were not going on a mission that often at that time. But in the patriarchal blessing was mentioned that the Lord will call me as a missionary. So I left that office thinking, well, I'm going on a mission. And from that point, I started planning on a mission, and then I went right after I turned 21. That was the age that we lived in. The other thing that caught my attention was the blessing said that my mission will be the beginning of other great and noble experiences that I will have in my life. I have no idea what that meant, but I have seen the fulfilling of that promises in my life many times. That was a great occasion, and I had great regard for Brother Valderas, for what he did for us.
In addition to promising Delia the opportunity to serve a mission, Delia's blessing urged her to study language and focus on her education in art, science, and every good book. Delia took that admonition to heart and threw herself into studying every language she could find, French, English, Italian, even Latin. When she became an adult, she served a full-time mission, and she later studied clinical psychology at university. After her graduation, she received scholarships for further study, one to study adult education in an international setting, and the other to study in Israel.
Delia's education and work took her all around the world, far from her small town of Colonia Suiza. Her early years of meeting many people from different backgrounds helped prepare her for the diversity she experienced in her travels, and everywhere she went, she found opportunities to serve others and the Lord. Her patriarchal blessing continued to guide her, sometimes in surprising ways.
When I read my patriarchal blessing said that the Lord will call me on a mission, in my mind, when I went on a mission, I check it out, and it was done. However, I was called on a mission more than once. In 2016, I was called to go on a mission to the Caribbean area. I was not assigned to a country. I was assigned to work with the area presidency. And the area presidency, I arrived there in December 2016, and the area president told me, "We know exactly why you are here. We need you in Haiti."
Haiti, a French and Haitian Creole-speaking nation in the Caribbean, had low rates of high school graduation and literacy, which was affecting the number of youth serving missions, as well as making it difficult for adult members and investigators to read and understand the scriptures and other religious materials. Delia worked with the church's Commissioner of Education to develop a program to help address those low education rates. That program is now being implemented throughout the church in areas with low school attendance and other educational challenges. Although Delia's life has taken her far from Colonia Suiza, she hasn't forgotten what she learned there or about the children she led in her first of many callings within the church.
When I think now, after 60-something years of my first calling in the church, my question is, what have kept me in church serving? And I would say two things: keeping the commandments and following the prophet. And that I learned when I was serving in primary. The initial 9 children, the one that was not a member became a member later on. And I just went visited with him about 2 weeks ago. He said, "I knew the church was true, but I was led with the family. We were Lutherans, so I move on. I married." And one day the missionaries came to my home and said, "We would like to invite you to go to church." And he told the missionaries, "I know everything. I went to primary." And in a week so, he was baptized. Of the other 8 that they were members, 1 died in the youth. Of the 7, 6 are very active. 1 is serving in a stake presidency. 1 of the girls went with her husband to serve a mission as mission leaders. Another of the girls is now a Relief Society district president. But perhaps the thing that impacted me more, one of those 6 children was a child with disabilities. Cognitive functions were very slow, and they have some issues with motor abilities and so forth. So she was always slow in learning. She was baptized maybe when she was 14, and she had remained faithful. to me, is such an example that the love of the Lord reaches everyone. The love of the Lord reaches all.
And as she looks back, Delia can see, too, the role the gospel has played in her life. From a young primary president in a small town in Uruguay to now serving a service mission in Salt Lake City.
I knew much about Jesus Christ before the missionaries came to my home. But when they presented the discussion on the first vision, the impact, the spiritual impact that I received in the confirmation that indeed Joseph Smith had been called by the Lord to be a prophet, that was enough for me. I think I knew the church was true before I really knew the church, before I really knew the gospel I had that day, and was enough for me. So my testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith and of the Book of Mormon has been key in all my life. And the Book of Mormon, till today, is the most powerful influence in my life.
You can read more about Delia and many other extraordinary saints throughout the world in Volume 4 of Saints. We'd also love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so send us an email at saintspodcast@churchofjesuschrist.org. Thanks for listening.